it's an art form and a skill to be able to do what we're talking about, and there's going to be varying degrees of it. The sooner you're able to build that trust and relationship and have those personal connections and being able to look at the person as a whole, the faster you are to be able to get to like prime productivity.
One, two, three, four.
Welcome to the Emotional Intelligence Podcast, a podcast where we explore the intersection of emotional intelligence and leadership. And whether you're a seasoned executive or just starting out in your leadership journey, we're going to share practical tips, inspiring stories, and expert insights to help you develop your emotional intelligence and achieve your goals. So sit back, relax, and get ready to take your leadership skills to the next level. I'm Ismail.
And I'm Samir.
Hey, Ismail, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Good. So I'm looking forward to chatting with you today. We're going to be extending our series on what makes great leaders. And today we wanted to focus on a leader's need to care about their people, their employees, not just caring about the work that your team members are performing, but caring about your team members holistically as people and how those two connect. Your caring about your people and the performance that comes out of that return, that investment.
That's right. Absolutely. And I think that there's a lot of things that folks are going to, you know, that we're going to talk about, and they're going to be like, yeah, we already do that. And they can check those off their list. And there's going to be a bunch of things, hopefully, that are going to be new that they can add to their repertoire and just continuing to grow as managers, as leaders in their particular field.
Yeah. And I think it goes without saying that leaders know that they should care about their team, but maybe your team doesn't feel cared for, right?
Sure.
So that's what we're going to be focusing on, is looking at some real practical ways that you all can show your teams that you care and then reap the rewards of that caring.
Look, Samir and I have talked about this type of these type of activities in passing, so to speak. But when we really put pen to paper and when we were discussing, okay, for this episode, what does it look like to care about your team? One of the first things that popped up was, well, what relationships do you build with your team, or do you have, and how do you build them with your team? And we do this naturally. We both do this naturally, but I'll let you kick off the first kind of process or step. Like, what do you do when you're building a relationship with your team?
That's a great question. So when building relationships with my team, it's really unique. Each relationship is unique, I should say. I wouldn't say that my relationship with two people is exactly the same, because we have different things that we may connect on, right? So I think that when I inherit a team, or when a new team member joins my team, that's where I start. You know, I try to figure out kind of what are those common ground items that we can connect on to kind of forge that relationship. And in doing so, asking some questions, right? But not being super direct about it. You don't want to make the other person feel like you're probing or interviewing them on their personal life, right? And like, a person's willingness to share is a completely personal decision, right? And so we don't want to push that too much, right? But asking some questions sometimes is a way to show that you care, right? Every one-on-one that I conduct, I usually do my one-on-ones on Mondays, right? When I sit down with my direct report and I say, how was your weekend? I mean, it's such a simple thing, but it's how I start every one-on-one. Like, tell me about your weekend. And sometimes the response I get is, nah, it was whatever, man. I didn't really do much. Cool. That's what you want to share. That's totally fine, right? But then sometimes you learn more about the person, right? Maybe they bring up something about, I had dinner with my in-laws. Oh, okay. File that away. They're married, right? And then you can kind of use that in the future to empathize better with that person, understanding that they have things going on outside of work. And so understand or learning about those things, I think, is something that good leaders really do prioritize, because they see it as a way of forging or building that relationship.
And you know me, we've talked about this. I love asking questions. I'm genuinely, genuinely curious. And like you said, there's the generic stuff that you ask you know, how was your day? How was your week? How's your family? How's your dog? And then meet, but they might say something like, oh, I remember one of my, I guess, colleagues, he had talked about 3D printing. I have a 3D printer right behind me, but he had asked about 3D printing. It never occurred to me that this is something that people do for hobbies, but I really got into talking to him out of curiosity about 3D printing. And that built this connection and bond between us that we'll always have. We can always talk about that particular topic along with, of course, other things. And it's really nice. It takes some time, like you had mentioned, to figure out what relationship or what do you have in common with other people. And I feel like also if you're essentially trading maybe personal nuggets, depending on who the person is, but it really builds this strong foundation of trust when you're able I'm not going to say divulge, but when share. You're able to share. Thank you. Yeah. When you're able to just share something personal about your life, I really feel like it means a lot. And I do hope that, you know, when we go through all of these topics that everyone's like, oh yeah, I do that. I do that. That'd be great. That's our dream. But let's just work under the assumption. We're working on the assumption that maybe not everyone knows to do these types of things.
Yeah. And I've worked under leaders like that where, you know, the second you sit down or the second the Zoom call starts, it's all business all the time. And, you know, that's fine. Like, but I never felt close to those leaders. I never felt like sticking my neck out for those leaders or really pushing myself beyond. But then the leaders that did forge that personal connection with me, I felt a lot more, desire to go above and beyond for them. So if you're a leader and you're trying to extract as much potential out of your team, you have to intentionally show that you care. And a very simple way to intentionally show that you care is to just simply ask about people, ask them what's going on, you know. But one thing that, you know, the flip side of this that I'd like to ask you about, Ismail, is, you know, I think this is somewhat changing in today's workforce, but historically, you know, when you hear my parents talking about work, it's like, just go to work, put your head down. Don't talk about your family. Don't talk about, you know, your personal relationships. Don't talk about your hobbies. Just go do your work and come home. Do you think that that is a prevailing feeling amongst the teams that you've managed historically? And how did you combat that? Or did you just say, hey, man, that's cool if that's how you want to be? But did that impact potentially your impression of them? The potential you saw in them for promotions and growth and things like that?
That is a really great question. I'll go backwards there. So I'm going to say subjectively, sure. Meaning that if I had a really good relationship with someone, that led to other things that really showed or highlighted their performance. But I've also had people who are just like heads down, they work, you know that they're working hard and they deserve it. It's just so much easier when you have a good relationship with someone to be able to promote them because it's more natural. So you do have to put a little bit more work into promoting those folks that maybe you don't have the most personal relationship with. And that's our job. As managers, as leaders, we got to treat them fairly. If they have earned it objectively, then they really should get rewarded for it. But I will say that it's easier. Now, the historical notion of just going to work, putting your head down, I think that still exists in the sense that we need it. There needs to be just people who crank.
And there needs to be boundaries too, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's right. I'm sure we'll get to this in terms of like how much is too much, but there needs to be a good solid mix. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with someone who just wants to go to work and crank because that is their thing. That's their jam. You know, they have different goals and objectives. And I think this is where maybe another notion of looking at the person as a whole is really important because they are a certain way at the office, but they're also a certain way at home, and that they may not be the same, or maybe they are the same. Maybe they're just a, you know,
even if you don't forge this strong personal bond with someone, figuring out that that's not what they want requires caring about them, right?
Yes.
So yeah. Either way, Either way, whether they want to talk to you about what's going on in their personal life because sharing makes them feel closer, or they don't, as the leader, you still need to make that analysis. And it needs to start from that first day, right? And the way that you onboard them and the way that you forge that relationship over time. Like, I'll say that the folks that I feel that sense of closeness with, where my team, you know, I feel like they'll go to battle with me because we've kind of created that strong relationship. It didn't happen in the first week, right? It took months and months and months to get there. All we're saying is that as a leader, you have to be open and willing to put the work in to build those relationships. And the tools that you can use is simply asking them how they're doing. Try to just, you know, care, genuinely care. You have to genuinely care. And it's not just asking for the sake of asking, but when they tell you how they're doing, or they tell you something that's going on in their life, like actually caring.
Yeah. You know, just another little addition to that point is, it's an art form and a skill to be able to do what we're talking about. And there's going to be varying degrees of it. The sooner you're able to build that trust and relationship and have those personal connections and being able to look at the person as a whole, the faster you are to be able to get to like prime productivity. At the end of the day, we need people to work. Yes, we want to be friends, but there has to be work that gets done. But so the sooner you can do this, like you said, it doesn't happen in the first week, but hopefully it doesn't take like 3 years.
Yeah. I agree.
So like the more you're able to really get into this particular skill and work it and take your time in perfecting the skill, the faster you'll be able to do it.
Yeah. And so let's kind of take that next step, right? We've built a strong relationship with our team members. What are some of the benefits that a leader is going to be able to realize from the hard work that they're putting in? And like one that pops into my mind, and this is simply going off of my personal experience, it creates a positive work environment, which then increases productivity. There's less drama. There's more less toxic work environment when people feel like, hey, I actually know about the person sitting next to me, and I care about the person sitting next to me. So I'm going to work hard for that person. And so that's one of the main benefits that I've recognized from just caring about my people.
So obviously we all want to work in a positive work environment.
Yes. And it's obvious. Yes.
It's obvious. I'd like to hope. I hope so. I hope people are like, yeah. Check mark, positive work environment. They're not looking, searching for that toxic workplace.
Right.
There's, you know, just being able to also, when you're caring for someone, I feel like it shows a lot of respect. And that respect goes a long way in, again, like building relationships and fostering teamwork. And these are like very simple things that come out naturally. But if you are looking for these or trying to do them with being genuine and authentic and naturally curious, they really go towards this productivity and harmony that you otherwise might not be able to get to. So another one, I guess, is it under creating a positive work environment and some of the things that you get out of that is you build a culture of respect and teamwork.
And another area where I feel like this pays huge dividends is in the inclusiveness or the inclusion aspect, right? Like a lot of companies have a ton of investment right now in diversity and inclusion. And I think that in order to make your team feel included, we need to understand their diverse backgrounds, and we need to understand the diversity of thoughts that they have, and feelings, and you know, maybe even some of their stances on issues, so that as the world around us functions and things happen in society, that we're able to be there for those folks, right? You know, as a Muslim American, like I remember years back in New Zealand, there was a mass shooting of a mosque. And I remember going to work that day and just feeling completely paralyzed and unable to function. You know, my leader at the time didn't quite recognize that that was something that would be important to me. But I wish that day somebody came over to me and just kind of like tapped me on the shoulder and said, like, dude, it's all right, man. You're going to be okay. Like, I know that this was a tough thing that happened to your community. But I'm there for you, you know, and something like that, could go such a long way, right?
It does.
And,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, the last 3 years, 5 years, the past, the recent past, there have been a lot of these, political, geopolitical, national, local events that have occurred that have really changed the landscape of how people look at each other. And obviously, like, diversity, equity, and inclusivity, these are things that have come up, and I'm like, well, we'll just say in force in the last like 24, 48 months. And to your point, we need to actually open our eyes and look at those things because they do matter, right? We have obviously, we talk about political, world affairs, violent events that occur, like, you know, small things that happen locally or on a national level. And these all impact everyone day to day. And you can't just shut that off when you go to work as an employee. And as a leader, I feel like it can be difficult. It can be a difficult topic to broach. And that's why I think it requires practice. But if you can go and tap that person on the shoulder because you know their background, their cultural background, religious background, and offer them some comfort in some way, it means a lot. Even if you're not looking, it's just a good human thing to do. But not everyone knows to do that. And if you don't build those relationships with people, you don't know about their personal lives. You don't know what they believe in or stand in. And sometimes those things might go counter to what you believe, but as a leader, as a human being, you have to learn to be able to balance those.
100%. I agree. And, you know, thinking about COVID, right? Like, we've talked a lot about COVID on this podcast and how it's impacted the workplace. COVID was one of those things where we saw sincere, caring response from our employers, because we were all going through it together. It didn't matter about your race, your creed, sexual orientation, none of that. It just, we were all human beings going through this colossal moment together. And so we were all like, how are you doing? Are you okay? You're having anxiety. You're depressed. I'm there. But we also have to recognize that people individually go through things that are impacted by the larger, you know, world events, and have the same type of reaction as COVID had on them. But just because it's not impacting you the way it's impacting them doesn't mean it's any less important. And so we have to care. We have to know about what's going on outside of the workplace and how it's impacting our people, because performance could be directly related to that.
Yes. This ties, I think, this falls squarely in the social awareness category of emotional intelligence. And, we are tying, our goal here is, Samir and I's goal here is to tie real world things to emotional intelligence and how to take foundational, how to take these steps to build that foundation. And sometimes you are so involved in getting to the finish line that you forget about all of the things and people that all you need or help you get to that finish line. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. We hope you're enjoying the episode so far. If you want to stay updated on all the latest content and behind the scenes action, be sure to follow us on social media. You can find us on Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and several other places by using the link in the show notes. And if it's not too much trouble, we'd love for you to leave a review and share this episode with some of your friends. Your support means everything to us, and we can't wait to connect with you online. Now, let's get back to the show.
So one of the things we're talking about, Ismail, is trying to figure out what people care about outside of work. But there has to be a certain boundary there, right? Where we don't want to just coerce information out of our staff, right? Tell me about your politics. Tell me about your religion. Tell me about who you love. Tell me about everything so that when something happens, I can be there for you. They can't do it like that. It has to be much more nuanced. So how do you build those boundaries? Like, do you just let it happen naturally? Is there something mechanical that you're doing to try to figure things out? Because the worst thing you can do is just look at someone and judge them.
So that's a really good question. I'm going to say, and this might be a bit of a cop out, is that I just let it, I naturally let it happen. I'm able to naturally let it happen because I really like to learn about people and I'm curious about people. But also, one thing that I don't do is judge based on what they talk about. If I've opened the door for them to talk to me about personal things, it doesn't matter what they are, I'm listening. And I'm not coming to any conclusions because actively, and this is not a natural thing, it's an active thing. I'm not coming to any conclusions because that's not my place. We are at work. There are boundaries to that, right? But if I can find something, I'll always try and find something that I personally might be interested in that I see that person doing or has brought up and ask them questions about that. So I guess there's a mechanical piece to it in terms of trying to find stuff that we have in common. I consider myself as someone who has just a bank of useless information and facts stored away or have learned through this exercise, through these processes over time. And I like to be able to relate things back. But there are plenty of people that I have not been able to find things in common with. And I just have to make that work. I have to make that work by any means necessary.
So what it sounds like is you naturally let the door open, but you, once the door is open, you're a little more strategic about how you extract relevant information that can help you deepen your relationship with that person.
And go ahead.
Well, I just think you made a great point too about, you know, not drawing any conclusions about them, particularly as it impacts them as a worker, right? Like, just because they have a certain preference or they have a certain belief outside of work should have no impact on their ability to perform their job. And leaders have to be careful of, because once you use that information to draw conclusions about performance is when you lose the team. They will find out and they will stop talking to you.
And I'm sure that there are plenty of HR rules and code of conduct. We're not HR specialists, but I think we're just saying, like, from a human perspective, an emotional perspective, an intelligent perspective, is don't use that information for bad. Use it for good. You know, and also, like, you know, you don't want to favor other people as well. So let's say you're not treating anyone negatively, but you're favoring someone because of their beliefs and things like that. You want to be very careful with that as well.
So Ismail, we've talked a lot about tactics or ways that you can get your team to open up to you. The question then becomes, as a leader, how much do you open up to your teams? And that's something that I've had difficulty balancing over the years, because you know, I feel like I'm very open. I share a lot, even with people that don't really share a ton back. I share inconsequential things, like things about, you know, maybe an embarrassing television show that I'm watching that they later make fun of me about, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know, I like to talk about my personal life. I like to talk about my kids. I like to talk about what I got going on the weekends and things like that, because it I feel like sharing builds closeness. But then again, like, you know, sometimes I'm like, am I getting too close to these people? Because there will come a time when I'm gonna have to potentially make a difficult decision about their jobs. And so, like, I don't want to get too personally connected to the point where there is no separation there. So how do you deal with that? And that's something that I've struggled with throughout my career, right? You know, I want to be tight with my team, but I also want to be the boss, and I also want to not feel bad if I have to riff their job, right? So what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I go in phases. I think that over time, the stronger or the longer I've known someone and the stronger the relationship gets, the more I might talk about and personally. So I can also, though, gauge by I set an initial standard. So, like, I'll say, yeah, I have two kids. They're this age and this age, and they love these things. Like, I might start kind of there. And if they reciprocate then I know, okay, that's step one and we're at this baseline and I can go a little further. So I am opening that door for them. And like you had talked about, you have to be able to do that. And I see how far they, what they're willing to share. And that gives me a gauge for how much I can share with them, right? But there are people that can very quickly, they go to sharing like everything about their lives. And so I have to know what I'm willing to share. And it's generally far less. And I'm generally more strategic about the conversations that we have. Just because I think that they're sharing this information, that's their natural state, and that's okay. And I want to be a listener rather than, meaning I don't actually need to prompt them anymore. So I guess the quick answer is I go in phases. I kind of just take a little poke and see, hey, are they willing to share? If not, it's totally fine. I just want to, you know, make that point clear again. It's totally fine if they don't want to share. And if they do, then I go to my level. I don't think there is a specific level that I set for every single person. I think it depends on the relationship that I have with them.
Yeah, no, it's a difficult thing to gauge, right? And you know, sometimes you will learn some tough lessons about the way that you've engaged with certain people, you know, and that's just kind of part of learning. But I think I really like your answer there, though, like kind of starting off slow, giving them like sort of the vanilla, got two kids, and just, you know, kind of seeing how they respond with that. But I think there is sort of a line in the sand of stuff that I don't cross. Like, I'll never give any kind of company information or stuff that like maybe my boss has told me about like the future of the department or any of that stuff. I keep that very close to the chest. You know, I think that, you know, and then obviously anything that is highly personal, right? Stuff that's going on with like where, you know, they absolutely have no interest in or don't need to know, you know, I just keep that stuff to myself. But if there's stuff that's just, yeah, like kind of those generic topics, I'm pretty open.
I mean, I love talking about their hobbies. I like talking. And trust me, I have very different topics with different people, like their night and day.
Yeah.
And some are like, I'm involved in that particular hobby. Like, let's just say biking, or things that I'm not involved in. Like, I don't do like scrapbooking, but I know a couple of people who do, and they like to talk about it. And I'm just really curious about it. So these types of things, they are each person. And this maybe leads us kind of to our last category here. Each person always has something to offer in both how they share their personal lives or building relationships and at work in terms of what they deliver. And you want to be able to get, at the end of the day, the most productive work and contributions out of them. And one thing I really feel like that people don't put enough emphasis on, I'm not going to say they don't do it or companies don't do it because they do, but being able to actually do a good job of recognizing the value of those contributions.
Mm, yes, 100%.
Right? I agree. I think there's a bunch of different ways that companies can do this. And I've seen good, I've seen bad. I like my personal go-to, like that personal conversation with them. But what are your thoughts or what experiences have you had in terms of how companies or people recognize those contributions?
Well, I'm a huge proponent of recognizing contributions. And for me, you know, I've throughout my career always given credit where credit is due. And I've really been able to get benefit personally from doing that, right? So sending a note up and down the chain, talking about how great somebody did on a specific task, or maybe, you know, tried something new and succeeded, or maybe even tried something new, didn't really succeed, but figured it out, you know? So like, I'm always trying to loop in all of the stakeholders, because I think that it's important that you are, and we've talked about this in previous episodes, like an internal advocate for your people, right? And so I think that when your team feels like, hey, not just Samir, my boss, thinks I'm doing a great job, but now he's telling everybody in the organization that I'm doing a great job, and then that person's name starts coming up in boardroom conversations, for that next step. So that's something that I think is hugely important. I've seen it done in so many different ways, right? Like we do like the quarterly, core value awards where we're recognizing people on a quarterly basis on, you know, broadcasting it to the company that this person did did something that is aligning with our core values. And other companies, there was spot bonuses all the time, like, oh, you did a great job, here's a couple $1,000s, and that was highly motivating to folks.
I would love that. I mean, I guess the hope is that that leads to more compensation down the road, which it can do, but not always. And sometimes the instant gratification really goes a long way.
Yeah. But then you create a culture of recognizing contributions, right? And then it becomes infectious, right? And I've sent an email to my boss saying that one of my team members did something amazing. Then somebody who's under me starts sending an email to me about people who are on their team that did something amazing. And then next thing you know, everyone's just congratulating each other. They're happy for each other. And that's how you really build a one company, one vision kind of a culture where everybody is celebrating each other's wins. I love that. I think the more recognition, if we could start every morning at the office, I mean, we're a hybrid work environment, like kind of like in high school when they had like the morning announcements, like be like boys basketball, boys varsity basketball beat. Well, like I would definitely do that. Just spend like 5 minutes on the PA just talking about how great everybody is or how all the great stuff that everybody is doing,
I mean, at the end of the day, what this does is build morale and motivation, right? It really does. And not everyone, I'm guilty of, I can tell you that I would say that was one of the things that I might have had to have learned. This is recognizing people, their value, acknowledging the things that they've done, because growing up, that was not something that was ever done to me. And here this is my childhood trauma, all this stuff, but it's like, not like, hey, good job, you did great on that test. It was always like, all right, so what's next and how are you going to do better next time? And so it was something that I had to learn, and it was hard for me. And I did not realize how important it was until A, I saw people's reaction to it, and B, when people did it to me and I learned to accept that recognition. It's one thing to say it, another to be like, no, that it wasn't me. I didn't do anything special. But because you have to learn to accept it and how good it makes you feel.
So Ismail, we took a really deep dive today into understanding why it's so important for leaders to care about their people, not just about the work that they're doing, but caring about them holistically, inside of work, outside of work. And we talked about ways that you can naturally, but even somewhat mechanically, build strong relationships with your teams. We talked about how that then will turn into creating a positive work environment and a positive culture. And then lastly, we got into recognizing and valuing people's contribution, how infectious that could be in your organization, and one as an additional way of showing that you care about your people. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Emotional Intelligence Podcast. We hope you found it informative and enjoyable. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. And if you have a moment, we'd really appreciate it if you could leave a review on your favorite platform. Your feedback helps us improve and reach more people. If you're interested in learning more about the topics we discussed today, be sure to check out the show notes for links and resources. You can find them by visiting our website. And if you have any questions or feedback, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us by email at info@emotionalintelligence.com or connect with us on social media by using the links in the show notes.